Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Wonderful to be back here again tonight. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Evidently, all I had to do was ask, and the specials would start coming. Why didn't I ask sooner? You have not because you asked not. Wonderful. I told you. This is the last bottle. It used to be your job to put the water up here, so just saying. Praise the Lord. Maybe somebody's hoping it'll shorten the service a little bit, you know. Yeah. That'd be a method to this. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be back? Yeah. Amen. What a nice atmosphere here tonight. And I know all the musicians and song leaders and everyone, they labor every service to create an atmosphere, but it's amazing what just a little bit more on the part of everybody else, it just multiplies. And my goodness, thank you. Ask and you shall receive. Thank you, buddy. Well, that's a four-bottle service. Praise the Lord. I don't know if it was announced or not, but we do plan on having service here on Wednesday night. We didn't used to, but then we found that there were many that had family members out of town that they'd go to visit their family members for Thanksgiving, and we completely understand that. And but this year, I don't believe that there are too many. Well, let me put it this way. I don't know how many are leaving to be with family members, but there's enough of us to have a service. So we're going to have a service. Amen. Creating the Atmosphere, Part 2. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'd like to read also from Jesus Christ the same, paragraph 19. Did you ever see people you love to be around? You just love to be around them because they create an atmosphere, a heavenly, and you like to be around them. Others seem to be good people, but you just, you know, I have to get away once in a while. You know what I mean. Yet they seem to be good people, but it's not creative. And man was made to be a god. We know that. Genesis 1:26. He had domain over the whole earth. And he was made to be an amateur god. And now when he receives God, he becomes a son of God again. He was made in the image of God. God had hands. God had feet. He's speaking of his theophany now, of course. God had hands, God had feet, and so therefore a man was made like him. So he's an amateur god, but sin has blinded every fiber in his body, in his mind, in his heart. But now, don't never try to study it out. You cannot figure it out. In the Garden of Eden, Satan chose the part of the man, his intellectuals. God took his heart. The intellectuals will reason. Why? Well, I'm this way and I'm that way. You'll never get anywhere with God there, but your heart, your faith, will make you believe things that your mind knows nothing about. You cast down reasoning. See, you must be positive, and you stay there until you are positive. Then, when you are positive, there's nothing can turn you. How many believes that tonight? Amen. We're counting on that. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we bow before you once again, we thank you for this evening service. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, we know that there are many states in our own country where they're limited to 10 people. Some places they're not able to meet the state laws or forbidding them from meeting together at all. But Lord, we're here tonight, and we're so thankful that we can come and follow your leadership, and that we can remain safe and fellowship with one another, fellowship with you, hear your word, Lord, to sing our praises to you, be in a heavenly atmosphere. So, Lord, we treasure these times, and we certainly don't want to take any of these opportunities for granted that you've given to us. We thank you for keeping us well and safe, and just ask for your continued protection, Lord, and particularly, Lord, in this season when people travel and move around, and we just ask that your protection would be with each and every one. And Father, we just love you and thank you for this opportunity once again to hear your word, and we just ask that you'd minister to each and every heart according to our needs, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we saw this morning that as sons and daughters of God, we are little creators, as Brother Branham put it. And we create an atmosphere that's around us, and it's the atmosphere that we live in, it's the atmosphere that we walk in. Some people want to blame other people for their atmosphere, but you're in control of your atmosphere. Adam was given dominion over the earth and over everything in the air, everything on the earth, and everything in the sea, everything in the heavenly dimension here on earth. And when man fell, he forfeited his rights to reign over the earth from heavenly places. Remember, he was created in spirit form first, and he had dominion over the earth before he was even in flesh as spirit man. But when he fell, he forfeited his position in heavenly places, though being the highest form of creation in the natural, he remained the dominant species here on the earth. He was once the prince of the power of the air before he fell and vacated his position. And we know that Satan stepped into that position and began to squat in that position, though it was not his God-given position. And we know this because the last Adam came and showed us the authority that the first Adam had over the physical and spiritual world. The second Adam, or the last Adam, one day stood up on the bow of a boat and spoke to the winds and spoke to the waves, and they obeyed his voice. It's Satan that kicked these things up, because he's the prince of the power of the air. But Adam was created to keep these things in control, keep these things in order. So the last Adam, or Jesus Christ, he changed the atmosphere. And then he told his elect that if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and don't doubt in your heart, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, you don't doubt in your heart, it'll happen. It'll take place. So he showed us that man was created to have power over the elements even. He spoke to demon powers. He spoke to sickness and even to death. He spoke to nature and he spoke to the elements. He was sent to redeem fallen man and to reclaim back what belonged to man. And through his death and through his sacrifice, he bought back for us the rights that were given to us in the beginning. And he gave back to us the rights and the authority that belonged to man before he fell. Amen. And so we read in the book of Isaiah that there is to be a time of refreshing, a time of refreshing of the Lord to the Gentile people at the end of the Gentile ages. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. But I'm thankful here tonight that that isn't speaking about you. You received the word of the Lord. And then we read about this very same prophecy in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So, in both cases, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it speaks of a refreshing. Now, what does it mean to be refreshed? It means to bring back anew. It means to restore. It means to renew what was once there. We are refreshed by the presence of the Lord in our lives. That's what refreshes us. You are fresh once again. You are refreshed. You're not stale, but you're refreshed. Now, don't confuse that with retired. Because retired doesn't mean that you're tired and now you're retired. So it doesn't work with all words. But with refreshed, you were fresh and now you're refreshed. It took the atmosphere of his presence to refresh us. It took the atmosphere of his presence to bring a birth. It took an atmosphere of his presence to quicken that seed that was inside of us. A monitor on your computer, or used to be even before that on your television set, it has what is called a refresh rate. And it's the pixels are being scanned on your monitor, and the image that's on your monitor is being refreshed. Normally the kind of one of the standard refresh rates now is 60 hertz or 60 times a second. It could be as low as 50 hertz, and sometimes it might be 120 hertz. It might be a faster refresh rate. But what they've determined through experimentation and what have you is that at that rate, you don't notice that it's being refreshed. If you refresh it too slowly, the human eye will catch that, and you'll see it's being updated, it's being refreshed. So what is taking place is the image that's there is being updated 60 times per second, and the human eye isn't even aware of it. Well, friends, if science knows that's necessary for something like a monitor, well, then how about us? It takes his presence in our lives to maintain the right kind of an atmosphere to keep us refreshed. So recall, as we talked about this morning, that astronauts have to take their own atmosphere with them in order to survive outside of Earth's atmosphere. Earth's atmosphere is special. It's just right to support life as we know it. And you go outside of Earth's atmosphere and the atmosphere isn't right for man to survive. So man has to take his own atmosphere with him. And he has to be very careful to maintain that atmosphere and watch over it and to monitor it, to constantly check on it, to make sure that his atmosphere is right. My wife reminded me after service that divers do the same thing. You know, they go under the sea and they bring their atmosphere with them, and they bring the air that they breathe. Of course, firemen do the same thing under certain circumstances. They have to bring their atmosphere with them when they go into a burning building so that they have air to breathe. And when we are born of the Spirit of God and we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, we're not of this world. So we need a different atmosphere. We need an atmosphere that matches the world that we are from. Is that right? And the atmosphere that's here right now in the day that we live in is the atmosphere of Laodicea. And it's not the right atmosphere for a son or daughter of God. We are pilgrims, we are strangers, and we're just passing through this land. We're just passing through Satan's Eden. And as such, we must bring our own atmosphere with us along on this journey, on life's journey. You've got to constantly create that atmosphere. It's got to be refreshed, and you got to bring it with you. For the promises of God to take effect in our lives, we must create the right kind of an atmosphere. It must be a heavenly atmosphere, an atmosphere that's filled with faith, an atmosphere that's hopeful, an atmosphere that's not filled with smoke that you can't see through. We've been given eye salve so that we can see through that. One that is filled with love, one that doubts all doubts, one that only believes the word of God. And that atmosphere that we create and that we bring with us, it blesses others also, to the point that they desire to linger in that atmosphere, to be around those that create that kind of an atmosphere. So let's read, if you don't mind. I'm going to do something a little different here tonight. I've got pages and pages of statements that Brother Branham made on this, and I don't know how many we'll get through. We'll get through as many as we're supposed to get through. Is that okay? So let's read some more statements from our message regarding creating an atmosphere. From the message of Supernatural, Brother Branham said, "But it's the attitude of the person that brings the results." That's the reason at Pentecost they had to go to an upper room and pray until the Holy Ghost came, because they got in one place and in one accord. It's the atmosphere what brings the results. You believe that? Let every man and woman in this building this morning, boy or girl, get everything from their minds but the Lord Jesus, and believe that He's standing present right now, and you'll see something happening that'll cause headlines in the newspaper in the morning. That's right, it's atmosphere. We read this morning, but I didn't read the whole quote. "I don't believe in joking from the pulpit, because the pulpit's no place to joke. It's a sacred place." I'm quoting something for this here, Mr. Bosworth, very good sense of humor. He said, "Brother Branham, to prove that it's atmosphere, you could take a hen egg and put it under a puppy and tie him down, and it would hatch a chicken. See, it's the warmth of the puppy's body that would hatch the egg. It doesn't have to be under a hen. It can be under a puppy. It could be in an incubator. It's the atmosphere. And it's the atmosphere that brings the miraculous and wonders and powers of God among the people. It's the atmosphere of the people. And when the people get to the place that they're reasoning and wondering and stewing and thinking and all tore up and don't know where they do stand, half of them not even scripturally taught, how can you expect the atmosphere to be right? You can't do it. It won't be right. It's got to be in one accord, one place, and settled down with motive, one thing. Then you're going to see something happening. It don't only work that, but if you look at it in the scientific world, say you're a whole bunch of salesmen, and you're going to sell Chevrolets or Pontiacs or some kind of a car, and one in his heart really thinks that Studebakers are better and so forth like that. Get us all in here and say the Buick is the best, and the other one some other car. Get us together like that. You could never have the right kind of a meeting, taking in the devil's work. He says, go over and say, we're going to a dance. One man standing up and saying, oh, he don't know about the weather, whether he wants to dance or not. And the girl, she's this and that, and the music's playing, nearer my God to thee. Huh, what an atmosphere for a dance. Well, that's not any different than what a lot of atmospheres you go into a church for a service of God, just that contrary, right? He says the only thing to bring the right atmosphere then for the dance is to put on your old music that makes dances, and everybody get thinking what a good time they're going to have dancing and so forth, and they'll be having a big whoop-upping time. But the right kind of music on the piano, the organ, and everybody in the atmosphere that Jesus Christ is there and is going to meet everything that they have need of, something will go to taking place. Atmosphere. But that's the hardest thing there is to do. And that is to get people in that atmosphere, the atmosphere of worship, the atmosphere of believing. And that's the reason sometimes divine life that's been called and set aside has become a fanatic or crazy or a mystic or something that the eyes of the general public is because you're considered, I'd say, a neurotic or an insane person. It's because you have, it's because you've changed your dwelling place. You've changed your dwelling place and you got into a different atmosphere. You were born into a different atmosphere. And your own motive, your one thoughts, is to stay in that atmosphere. Any person that'll ever come into that atmosphere one time will never be satisfied nowhere else. You'll spend the rest of your days trying to get back and trying to stay in that atmosphere. And that's why I believe that we should have our churches under control by the Holy Ghost. That men and women in their work, wherever they should be, should continually desire, and they will, if they've ever once come into that atmosphere. The people that are critical of it, that are skeptic of it, they've never been in that atmosphere. So they don't know what they're missing. They've been taught to be afraid of it many times. But once you get into that atmosphere, oh my, you think, I was afraid of this? Man, I live for this now. I was made for that atmosphere. And guess what? That atmosphere was made for me. I thrive in that atmosphere. Hallelujah. Again, in divine love, he says, now, if you really love God and you know there's some kind of people that's real good people, only you just can't hardly stand to be around them. That's right. Why is it? They create that atmosphere. And there's some kind of people that you just love to be around. They create that atmosphere that they live in. Now, it's a supernatural thing. Now, when the presence of the Lord comes down, it creates an atmosphere for faith. Now, friends, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're a supernatural being. So, of course, it's a supernatural thing. It creates an atmosphere for faith. And then I thought, now, Lord God, you help me. He's speaking once again about his wife and the house being upset and the family members all crying and kind of tore up because of the seeming chaos that's in the house. And he says, and I said, sweetheart, you know what? She's just a woman, you know, and she likes pretty dresses and, you know, and pocketbooks and she don't get them all the time. She likes them. So I said, I know my wife does too. She's got plenty of them. Well, she might not think so, but you know, I saw one of the prettiest dresses I ever saw. And she says, you did? And I said, yes, honey, I did. And I thought, Lord God, help me now. And I laid my hand over on her stooped shoulder and I said, honey, you should see it. And she said, yes. And I said, Lord, be good to me now and help me. And I said, now I've got to believe that you're going to do this. This in my little family and these sick people that has got them all upset, but you'll help me, Lord. He says, now, you've got to create an atmosphere, and your faith will do it. You've got to create an atmosphere, and your faith will do it. They were all, you know, the faith projects the vision that you then walk into. They were all in the upper room with one accord when suddenly there came from heaven, as the sound of a rushing mighty wind, the atmosphere was right. It takes atmosphere to do anything. You know, the regular procedure to hatch chickens is to put them under a hen, but get the egg in the right atmosphere, it'll hatch anyhow. Listen, brother, if a man loves God and the right kind of an atmosphere he could get into, it'll produce a newborn babe just as certain as I am here. It's the atmosphere that counts. Let's let this little handful of people sitting here tonight get in a perfect atmosphere and watch what takes place. There will not be a feeble among them, not one in our midst. You believe that, friends? Oh, I believe that with all my heart. The cripples will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak without prayer or anything, just atmosphere. That's how 25,000 was healed at one prayer in Africa. When they seen the Lord do something, it created an atmosphere, and they stepped into it. That's the pool when the waters are running right. So I had my hand on her little shoulder, and I began to try to create in my heart, Lord, I'm happy. There's nothing wrong with me. I love you. You know I do. You just straightened out my little family. And after a while, I said, tell you what, honey, I'll show you where those dresses are. Then let's get the kiddies a little bit of supper, and then we'll start. And the first thing, I got my apron, and I tied it around me, and I got to helping her and talking about something else. And when she got quiet, I looked down, and Sarah and Becky had signed the peace treaty, and they were playing. And little Joseph was just shaking his little rattle box and having a good time. You see, you've got to get in the right kind of an atmosphere. Amen. It's not change the person, it's change the atmosphere. Amen. You change the atmosphere, God can go to work it on the person. Hallelujah. Again, and hear ye him, he says, now, when the son was born, that didn't make him an heir of all things. Now, when the son was born, the father was a busy man. So he went through his kingdom and everywhere that he could find, till he got a teacher, or a tutor, it's called in Galatians, a tutor, a raiser for his son. And his son might be raised up in the right atmosphere. That the son might be educated correctly. That the son might be taught the right thing. And could you imagine a wealthy man, how he would seek out to find the very best tutor that he could find to raise his son, for he loved him. And taking that in parable, how much God, our Father, when his child is born into the kingdom, how God sought the heaven and he put over the church the best tutor that he could find. And it isn't a bishop, neither is it a pope or a cardinal, it's the Holy Spirit. That's the teacher of God's church. The Father sent the tutor. The tutor must not be one of these little wishy-washy, pull back and forth and hunt for a feather in his hat. He must be a man that's honest, that will correctly correct that child and will bring the word to the Father exactly how that child's progressing. So it'll bring the right atmosphere around that child. Again, he says, let me tell you, you got to have life to go there. Without life, you cannot rise. You take a seed, you put it in the ground, and let a little bug got into that seed, and it'll kill the germ that's in that seed. It'll never rise. That's exactly right. But if you can keep the bug out, it's got a heart. It's got something in it. It'll rise just as sure as the atmosphere gets right around it. It'll rise. Just takes the right atmosphere. And that it is tonight. I love how he says this. If you've the least desire in your heart to receive God, to receive the Holy Spirit, get in the right atmosphere, the right mood before God, and life will come into you just as sure. And you'll start rising to translation. You'll start rising to translation. You're in the rapture. Oh, I know what we receive here is just a shadow of a shadows of the shadows. But when you die, the shadow becomes a shadow, the shadow of the shadow, to the strinkle, to the moisture, to the branch, to the lake. Oh my, it'll go right on into the eternal presence. Then you're there forever. Oh my. Again, from the Queen of Sheba, he says, I seen not long ago where they went into the garners of Egypt, and they got some wheat that was put in there about 2,500 years ago. Yes, more than that, about 3,000 years ago, put in there by Joseph. Some of the wheat had been laying there for all those years and planted it in the ground, and it produced again. No matter how long this gospel lays here, 2,000 years, we've had mockers and scoffers saying the days of miracles is past, but put that word in the right kind of a heart. It'll produce again, just exactly like it did at the first time, because it's the word of God. It's got to come into the channel of faith. And as long as it's laid in the garner, it didn't need nothing. It just stayed there as a memorial. I was surprised in Rome. They've got authentically 19 different nails that was nailed in Jesus' hand. Every one of them said, "We got it. Our church has got it. We got it." 19 nails that they can prove when there were only 3, see? Everybody wants a nail. Here not long ago, a great one come forth with a piece. Here's a piece of the original cross. What difference does that make? I don't care how many nails you got, how many pieces of a cross you got. We need to produce this word again. Put it not on a cross, on a nail, but on the living atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. That brings forth the results. God's word under the right atmosphere will produce exactly what it says it'll do. It's got to be in the right atmosphere, though. You can't lay it over in the seminary or some Bible school that don't believe in signs and wonders. It'll never break forth and bring life there. The atmosphere is wrong. But you've got to put it in the right atmosphere. What kind of an atmosphere? A surrendered atmosphere. Stay there until it does go to growing and taking life. That's the idea. This is a key, friends. Again, and show us the Father. He says, now, this is food that you need for eternal life. God in his word. Now, the Bible said that the word of God is a seed that a sower sowed. You farmers here, you know that when you sow a seed, if you sow wheat, why, it'll bring forth wheat. If it's put in a proper care, you sow oats, it'll bring forth oats in its proper care. Well, that's what the word of God is. If you take any promise of God and place it in the right atmosphere, it'll produce exactly what it is in its life. Like a hen, usually, the right procedure is to take an egg, put it under a hen, and she'll hatch the chicken. But you could take the egg, it's the atmosphere that counts. You can take the same hen egg and put it under a pup and let the pup's body keep the egg warm. It'll hatch a chicken. See, it's atmosphere, and that's the same thing it is here this afternoon. That's what I'm speaking for. If I can get the right kind of a heavenly atmosphere, something's going to happen, see? Atmosphere. God, his word is a seed. Now, you take a little tree. Many of you people have orchards. You take a little, now this is up in Dawson Creek in British Columbia. That's where, I guess, Johnny Appleseed went up there. And you know, we didn't have, you may know this or you may not know it, we didn't have apple trees in America. There's a lot of different kind of fruit trees that we just didn't have. And the reason why we didn't have them, one reason is because there were no bees. And it takes bees to pollinate them. You didn't know that? Yeah. We had to bring bees over here too. So Johnny Appleseed went up into the Northwest. I think they taught us that in third grade, fourth grade, something like that. And Johnny Appleseed went up and planted all these apple trees. And I guess some of them made up there into Dawson Creek by this time. And he says, you take a little apple tree. Now watch this. Set that little apple tree as a slip. It's just about that big. Come from a seed. Well, did you know every apple that'll ever be in the tree is in it right then? Did you know that? You say, well, how many apples will that tree produce? Maybe 100 and 50 bushel, maybe 200 bushel, 500 bushel in the life of that tree. But now all 500 bushels of apples is in it when it's just about that big. If it isn't, pray tell me where it comes from. See, it's in it. Everything you're ever going to be is in you too. It's in that seed that's down in you. We don't inject something in you to make you a Christian. It's all in that seed. It just has to be put in the right atmosphere. He says, now, what do you do with the tree? You set it out, you put it down in the ground and plant it, and then you water it. Now, what's the little tree do? The little tree has to draw water from the earth. And it has to drink and drink and drink. And it has to drink over its portion. And as it drinks, it begins to push out. And after a while, it pushes out limbs. Then it pushes out leaves. Then it pushes out blossoms. Then it pushes out apples. It's just drinking and pushing. And that's the way that it is, that a Christian is. We're planted in Christ Jesus, which to my interpretation is the inexhaustible fountain of life. And the only thing we have to do, if you're sick, if you need something, when God fills you with the Holy Spirit, by one Spirit we are all planted, baptized into one body. And the only thing we have to do then is just drink until we push out divine healing, glories, and take that old worry and doubt and push it away and bring in new life, produce new fruits of the Spirit. Just drink the seed. Hallelujah. Is this okay? Again, from Broken Cisterns. This is one of my Hall of Famers, one of my all-time favorites. It's one that I quoted before I got the baptism, and people are telling me I already had it. And I'm trying to tell them, well, that's not what the prophet said to his own daughter. Just believe that God sent a prophet. Okay, Rebecca, you just believe that your daddy's a prophet, and you got the Holy Ghost, right? He says in Broken Cisterns, Phoenix, Arizona, he says it takes atmosphere to do things. He says, that's the reason you men are always taught, bring your children here. Well, certainly that's right. I was glad to see my daughter Rebecca come in and sit down just a few minutes ago. Some of you seen me wink at a woman. It was my daughter. So she come in and sat down. Listen to this. I want her to receive the baptism of the Spirit. So much for being daddy's, the daughter of a prophet. So much for saying, I believe that you're God's prophet. I believe she believed that. I want her to receive the baptism of the Spirit. He didn't cut her any slack. And that's why she's here in the meeting. That's what the purpose of it is. It takes atmosphere. As old Dr. Bosworth used to say, you can take a hen egg and put it under a pup, it'll hatch a chicken. Why? Because it's an egg and got the right atmosphere. I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, in the right atmosphere, it'll hatch out a newborn child of God. Claim the word. It's the atmosphere that does it, no matter what denominational tag that you have. In that very same message at the end of the service, Brother Branham makes a call and he says, those of you that are seeking the baptism, come on down front. Those of you that have the Holy Ghost, come down and pray for him. He said, it's our responsibility to create that atmosphere for life to come forth. Again, in the Easter seal, he says, we're having our youth for Christ. He says, well, that's all right. Our church is having a meeting. We want so many members. Nothing against that. That's all right. But that's only the atmosphere that might be in an old hen's feathers. But if you'll get in the right atmosphere there, it'll hatch an eagle if you're an eagle egg. And if you were foreordained of God to see it, you can't help from seeing it. You're coming forth in a resurrection, and that's the way the Baptist was born. That's the way the Methodist was born, in a resurrection of that day, but they turned off to a hen instead of an eagle. Again, he's in I Will Restore. He says, so if you want to get close to God, just get close to love. Just love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Just wrap yourself in a bundle of love. Watch that man that you didn't like you. Did you ever get around anybody? You've seen nice people that you couldn't hardly stand to be around them. And you know that's right, isn't it? And I've seen people that maybe that you just love to be in their presence. Haven't you seen people like that? Do you realize that you're sons of God? The atmosphere and the air that you live in, you create a situation around you that either draws or pushes away. You create. You know, we can get arrogant and push people away. We can do what I call the 1,000-yard stare. You know, and that's, you meet people from, you go to Costco, and you see sisters with long hair and a long dress and a long face, and you see their husbands, and you know that they're either, you know, holiness or they're in the message, and you know, chances are they're there in the message. And you think, oh my, wonderful. I just came from a little town where there's only two believers and, you know, or five believers, whatever it might be. And I just can't wait to get around some more believers. And so you see them and you think, oh my, I just spotted them. I'm going to go over and, you know, ask them, you know, if you believe the message or whatever. And you come over to them and you get ready to say something and they look right over your head. They're looking way out there, you know, out into eternity. They're creating an atmosphere, and the atmosphere is get away from me, right? We're the only believers that there is, and we're not allowed to talk to anybody else. If you don't go to our church, you're not a believer. So they're creating an atmosphere, and that atmosphere is to push away. Brother Brandon says, you'll create an atmosphere that either draws or pushes away. Oh, look, there's so-and-so. Where does the time go? He says, I better leave that subject alone and read what I was going to, because I'm afraid you're not getting that. You see, that's deeper things that the church has that yet got to learn. That's right, deeper things. We're taught in this ritualistic and so forth, and it's set down and it's cut and dried for us. But when you come into the real, it's not something way off that you can't understand. It's just as close as your hand is to you. You just look right over the top of it. Yeah, that 1,000-yard stare. It's so simple till you overlook it, see? That's what does it. Again, he says, now, let me tell you something. Each man that's born again with the Spirit of God in him is a miniature creator. That doesn't mean you're a midget. Just, you know, you're just not the creator of the universe. Now, that might shake you a little, but that's the truth. In 1955, it was shaking people. It was shaking them in 65. That might shake you a little, but that's the truth. We're in the image of God, and God is a creator. That's the reason that you can believe that God could heal a person, because God is in you. And God made this world. He just spoke it, and his word became material. The very ground that you're sitting on is the word of God made manifest. If he didn't, where did he get it? See, he just spoke it and turned it into existence. He believed in his own word. And if a man's born of the Spirit of God, he's an offspring of God, and that part of God is in him. And he believes every word that God says will materialize. See, and so that makes him part of God. The Holy Spirit in the man makes him a part of God. And now, did you ever see people, nice people, but you just couldn't hardly stand to be around? Sure you have. You don't have nothing against them, but you can't stand to be around them. Then you've seen some person that's maybe, oh, listen to this, that's maybe a little old scrawny fella. Or a little old woman bent over a wash tub. But you just love to be around that person. You just love them somehow. It's the atmosphere that they've got around them. It's the way that they live. They create an atmosphere that you like to be into. That's the lovely people to be with. This isn't just special for some people. This is for every son and daughter of God. Again, he says, now my wife's sitting there. And she was crying. So he's telling this episode once again, a different place at a different time, about what was taking place in his home. He says, now, the only thing for me to do now, Heavenly Father, in my heart, I said, is to create a different situation here. And I said, now, Heavenly Father, I love you, and I've been ministering to your people, and here my poor little wife is all tore up. The baby's sitting there pulling one another's hair and fighting over the blocks. And I said, we don't want that. So you help me, Father, and I believe you're going to do it. So I said, well, praise the Lord, honey. I said, this has been a marvelous day. And I said, you see that kitty walked out a little while ago? Took them braces off and walked away. And that man out there in the ambulance said, Brother Brown, just speak the word. That's all they'd have to do. And my child will come out of here. And oh, and a lot of faith, you know. And I got to talking and she says, oh, honey. She said, it's so wonderful. But said, oh, look at these kitties. Said, they haven't eaten since this morning. Said, I couldn't even get around the kitchen. And I said, oh yeah, but that's all right. Just think when it's all over, what we're going to do then. I said, my, when we sit down with them over there, and when they ring those golden bells some of these days, and the Jubilee songs begin to sing, and there comes Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I said, you just watch me shine then. And I said, oh honey, going to have you right on the arm like that, and we're just going to walk right up those streets of gold. He says, I seen a little smile come out of the side of her face. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Just keep on. And I said, now we'll go get supper ready right quick. And I said, we will shove out right quick and we'll go somewhere. And we'll get in the old car and puddle around down along on the hill somewhere. And I said, we'll just go have a good time. And she just started getting supper ready. Every once in a while, I would walk over and I was praying, oh Lord, now just let me create this atmosphere of being happy. Let me create this atmosphere being happy instead of being like this. Friends, it don't matter how you feel. Amen. You create the atmosphere, it'll even change how you feel. But you don't go by feelings. Well, I'm just waiting for it to move over me. Well, you'll be waiting a long time. I laid my hands on her like that, and I said, honey, you know what? And she thought, I just put my hands on and to talk to her. But I was laying my hands on her in Jesus' name. See, honey, you know what? I said, it's just marvelous. I said, you know, this coming summer, I said, we're going to go up into the mountains. As soon as I get a little time for vacation, I said, I'd like to see them kids catch one of those trout. Would you like that? She said, oh, that was a lot of fun. Said, well, it's coming right along. I said, yes, honey, that's just fine. Oh, Lord God, please, he says. And the first thing you know, she was laughing and singing, and the kids had their blocks in there just playing and having a big time. See, that's the way it is. You just keep believing. Create the atmosphere. Never let doubt come around you. Believe all the time. Don't accompany any of that doubt at all. No, sir. No matter what the circumstances is, push away doubt. Walk right on through it. Just refuse it. Yes, sir. Don't give no grounds to it at all. Keep that atmosphere. Don't just create it. Keep that atmosphere. An atmosphere of faith. All things are possible in that atmosphere, friends. That's you actually taking your seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's you occupying your position as a son or daughter of God. Amen. A mini creator. Amen. Notice, now the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, something about them. Something about a real Christian that you love to be around. Don't you do it? And there's a power there. After I get to know you a little better, I want to tell you some of the things that I know that happen. See, you create your own atmosphere around you. You believe that? You sure do. Again, he says, let me give you a little speck of light. Now, this is interesting. I'm studying this morning on this subject, and I'm pulling up quotes. I get a text from Brother Joe Green, just out of the blue. Brother Baker, you just came on my heart. I haven't talked to you for a while, and I just wanted to see how you and Sister Baker were doing. Just wanted you to know that we love you. Just checking in on you. And just as he's, you know, and I'm finishing things up, and I'm getting ready to go out the door, so I couldn't respond to his text just at the time. But I look, and I'm on this quote. And this quote, this message was preached in Spindale, North Carolina. That's where Brother Joe Green's at. And I'm thinking about Brother Joe Green, how when we get around him and Sister Rexanne, his wife, they're just sweet, and you just love to be around them. And I'm thinking, so I sent him this quote, told him, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that, you know, the Lord put me on your heart. Well, this is what the Lord put on my heart to share with you. He says, let me give you a little speck of light just in a minute now, just a few minutes now, before we start the prayer line. You're a creator yourself, a miniature creator. Listen, did you ever see people that was nice people, though you just couldn't be around them hardly? Something about them you couldn't stand? Did you ever see people that you just love to be around? Did you ever see them kind of people? That's the atmosphere that they create themselves. And I feel that way when we get around Brother Joe Green and his wife. Again, from in Shreveport, the message love. Brother Brown says, divine love. In fact, you know, I'm not going to stop there. That's how you feel when you get around any believer. Amen. A Holy Ghost-filled believer. I said this morning that Joppa, I forget where I said it was, in Samaria or Galilee. It was in Judea. It's on the coast. It's on the coast of the coast of Israel. I believe it's south of Caesarea, right? And, so I just wanted to clear that up in case somebody now will start listening. Because they knew that I made a mistake. Divine love is the most powerful forces. It's one of the greatest forces in the world. And when divine love has been projected and comes to its end, then sovereign grace will take its place. Now that's my text. When divine love has projected, project divine love and it comes to its end till it can go no further, then sovereign grace will come in and take its place. Now, do you realize, being a son or daughter of God, that you are a minor creator? Do you know you create the atmosphere that you live in? Do you realize that that atmosphere that you dwell in, you influence somebody else? What makes people act the way they do? What makes drunks like to be with drunks? As my mother used to say, the old proverb, I think it's a southern here too, birds of a feather flock together. Because they have things in common. Again, he says, now, we want to talk of facts. Now, the reason that is because of atmosphere that the individual himself or herself creates. Because you are a miniature creator. Because you're sons and daughters of God. No matter how far you stooped in sin, you're still sons and daughters of God because you're fallen, degenerated in your soul and mind, but God is your creator. And you're in a fallen estate. And in your fallen estate, you are lost, undone creation of God, dominated by the devil, that's right, but still you're sons and daughters of God. He's not willing that any of you should perish, but all might come to repentance. See? And he's done everything that lays possible for the only God himself could do this. The opportunities to the creatures of his to accept and to be what he wants you to be back in your right estate again. Now here it is, and it's pretty sharp. But no person in their right mental status, no person is in their right mental status until they have accepted the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, there's going to come a time when you just can't even say that. You know, they'll lock you up. Well, we'll still say it because it's the truth. And we're not saying it to be offensive. We're saying it because it's true. We're not going to go out with a picket and, you know, rah, 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 you know, get in people's faces. But if we need to say it, if we're inspired to say it, we're going to say it. No person is in their right mind, their right mental status until they have accepted the Lord Jesus. That's a deep word, but that's the truth. No person is mentally right until they have accepted Christ Jesus as their personal Savior. He says, that sounds, but it's the Bible. Certainly it's true. He is the one, and in your created being, he says, now, you'll be crazy to the world when you do that because you have to come out of the atmosphere that you're in into this other atmosphere. And when you do that, God lifts you right up from the world. And you live in a heavenly atmosphere. The atmosphere that Adam once walked in. See, and then to the world, you're just contrary to what that is. And this is contrary to the world, see? Now, what you want to do is to be lifted up by Christ into an atmosphere to where you are happy. Friends, it's not just for some people to be happy. If you're a Christian, you're happy. Now, if you're not happy, it's because you're not praying. It's because you're not in the right atmosphere. And you're letting the atmospheres of this world get to you. And we've all been there at one point or another. We all will let the cares of this life take over us or somebody hurt us or whatever. And we will find ourselves, you know, down in the place that we've been delivered from. But we don't stay there. You're lifted up by Christ into an atmosphere to where you are happy, peaceful. And then in there, you create a situation. And now many times we in the churches, now this may seem strange, but if you'll just watch it now, this is for the church, it's for the people. The people get one another's spirit instead of getting the Holy Spirit. You go into a group of people and you watch the way a person acts. And them kind of people that will come into that congregation, the first thing you know, they'll act the same way. Everybody stands up at the same time. The minister says, "You may be seated." Well, what's with that? You know, I've been in services like that. And you feel the peer pressure, right? But I'm thinking, I don't feel like standing up, you know? But you see everybody else standing up. You think, but I don't want to get up. But then you can hear those demons saying, "Ha, you're, what's the matter with you? You're not a believer." And you can see, and people will turn around and say, "Get up." But I don't feel like it. I guess I don't have your spirit.
Right.
When I, you know how I've solved that when I've been in services like that? I just close my eyes. Right? That way I don't know if people are getting up or not. If I feel led to get up, I'll get up. Oh, come on, friends. You've been in services like that too. You know what I'm talking about. You're getting one another's spirit. People get one another's spirit instead of getting the Holy Spirit. You go into a group of people and watch the way that person acts, and them kind of people that come into the congregation, the first thing you know, they act the same way. They start saying, "How y'all doing? Last time I checked, you weren't from Oklahoma." They're acting like everybody else. Now, I'm sorry, if you're Hispanic and you're from Tucson and your parents are from Mexico originally, you don't say, "How y'all doing?" I know your grandparents don't say that. Your parents don't say that. So you're not going to say that. It's not that there's anything wrong with it, but you just seem silly. Just be who you are. Okay, amigo? People get one another's spirit instead of getting the Holy Spirit. He says, you take a good woman and a bad man. He will either become a good man or her a bad woman. In the atmosphere that you live in, you project to your associates what you are. Then what type of people ought we to be if we're Christians? What type of an atmosphere should we live in? In a consoling, soothing, healing atmosphere we should live in, with our hearts constantly in prayer, with a deep love for every person that we come in contact with.
Amen.
Not every person you like, every person you come in contact with. It doesn't mean you want to be around them, but you can love somebody from a distance. You can come and you can love them. You can care about their soul. You can genuinely, heartfelt, deep down inside, care about that person. And maybe just not like the atmosphere that they create. If I say this to the little churches, prayed for me for the world missions, well, that's my success in praying for the sick. If I can't get right down into the feeling of the sickness with that person, it usually doesn't do any good. You got to come right down till it's just till you feel it yourself. Friends, I live that myself. I've known that ever since this message came across my path and God quickened things to me. When I pray for people, if you can't enter into, if you can't feel what they're feeling, you can't really pray for them. And if the Spirit is in you, the Spirit will intercede. Spirit will give you a glimpse of what they're going through. Again, he says, then when you become a son or daughter of God, your disposition changes. Your attitude changes. Your look towards life and towards others changes. It doesn't mean that you just have joined a church. It means that you have been regenerated. You have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away and God has spoken to you and you've become a new creature. I want this to go way down, even into church members. Then, as you would love to be in the presence of Christ and you become a part of Christ, listen to this. Man, you got to put this on your mirror or your refrigerator, wherever you spend the most time. Or your computer, whatever. Your iPhone. Then as you would love to be in the presence of Christ and you become a part of Christ, then people love to become in your presence. Because you become a part of God, son and daughter of God. Did you ever see people that you just love to be in their presence? There's just something about them that just radiates, that you just love to talk to them. And other people who are nice people, yet we don't say this unkindly, but you just can't hardly stay around them. It's because of the atmosphere. You know, you get around somebody, how you doing? Well, you know, and then they'll go through the first, second, and third poll of how miserable their life is. And you're like, where does the time go? Sorry I asked. And you know that's what they're going to say every time you get around them. Right? Why can't they just say good? Oh, but that would be dishonest. Okay, then. You're always going to be miserable. Nobody likes that atmosphere, friends. It's not that you don't care for the person, but that person has chosen to live in a dump. That person has chosen to live in a negative atmosphere. And if you're living in a positive atmosphere, there's not much that you get out of that. And other people who are nice, yet we don't say this unkindly, but you just can't hardly stand to stay, you can't hardly stay around them. It's because of the atmosphere that you create. For you, as a son of God, are a miniature creator. Because you are a part of God, and that's the reason that you can believe the Bible for anything that it says, for the word is God's word. You being a part of God will agree with the word.
Amen.
And the church said?
Amen.
Right after service, I get another text. This is from Brother Kelly Hildebrandt up in Saskatoon. Same thing. You're just on my heart thinking about you. I don't know. Am I on a milk carton somewhere? If you see Brother Baker, send him a note. I just believe this is how the Spirit works. I'm not discouraged. I'm not depressed. I did say to Sister Baker, I did say that we got to kind of watch ourselves. You know, I did say that because of this shutdown and mask wearing and we get to where, well, first of all, we're cut off from fellowship, a lot of the fellowship that we had, right? And we get to the place where we kind of shy away from it even, you know? And we had a good example of it. We're out there cleaning up part of our side yard, and part of our side yard, the neighbor's yard, he's got weeds that go right over, into his part, into our part, and there's no fence or anything that clearly delineates it, and then there's his roadway there. And so I thought, well, it's going to look pretty silly if we clean up our weeds and leave this, you know, strip about this wide that runs right between our property with weeds, you know. It's kind of like shoveling snow when I was a kid. If I was up against somebody else's property, I'd shovel their snow too. You know, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous not to do that. You know, you're not doing it for attention or thanks, but it's just the right thing to do. So anyway, our neighbor can be a little unfriendly, and we just try to be friendly with our neighbor. He's been through a lot of things, and anyway, he comes out of the house, and you know, first of all, to see what I'm doing, you know, he's always worried about whose property line is what. And I told him, look, don't worry about that. I don't care. And you don't, you know, let's don't quibble over where the property line is. You know, it's just dirt anyway, right? And so anyway, he kind of loosens up because he sees that I'm not only doing his weeds, but I'm doing his weeds before I do my own, right? And just working our way through it. So I wave and he waves and he gets in his car and drives off, and I haven't seen him in months. And We're next door neighbors, but we just never really run into one another. Of course, I'd have to be outside to see him, I guess. So later on the day, Sister Baker's out there with us and helping to rake up some of the weeds that, you know, we had to use a pickaxe to hit some of these. They got stalks on them, you know, like trees. And so she's helping us pick those up. And he returns. And he stops and, you know, talks to the talking part of the family. they had quite a nice conversation, you know. And then he drives a little further down the driveway and he stops and how are you doing? I said, I'm getting along. I'm doing well. Thank you. And just kept on doing what I was doing. And how are you doing? And that was about it. And I really didn't. Nothing against him. It had nothing to do with him at all. But I really didn't want to talk to him a whole lot more than that. And I realized at that moment in time, I mean, that was kind of uncharacteristic. But I realized it's a side effect of what we're going through, you know. So we actually have to make an effort, right? I've noticed this. I don't know how many of you have done some shopping or whatever. But I've noticed that when somebody's wearing a mask and you pass them in a shopping lane, people don't tend to look at one another. Or if they do, they look away and they kind of shine away from one another, like, you know, unclean, unclean, right? And I'm sure they're not. It's just how it is. So you have to actually make an effort, right? More than you would normally. To show yourself friendly and, you know, but you're not going to breathe on them. You know, show yourself friendly from a distance and, you know, don't scare the person, but because they can't see your face. And a big part of communication is, you know, whether somebody's smiling or frowning. I've noticed some of you, been around some of you, and I've noticed some of you are. In fact, I'll get a chance to talk with you, because I felt like asking some of you, you know, are you okay? Are you discouraged? Are you depressed? Because you're just kind of shying away a little bit. It's because of this pandemic, right? So, I mean, this just ties right in with this thought here tonight, right? We got to create an atmosphere, even during a pandemic. We got to create an atmosphere. Don't allow circumstances to dictate your atmosphere, right? That was free. That won't cost you anything. And I admitted that I'm going to have to step it up myself. I don't believe I'm consciously doing that. But now that I'm aware of it, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to scare my next door neighbor. No. Show up on the door, ding, ding, ding. Oh, my mask. The old things have passed away. God has spoken to you. I'm going to pull over here in a few minutes. The old things have passed away. God has spoken to you, and you've become a new creature. I want this to go way down, even into church members. Then as you would love to be in the presence of Christ, and you become a part of Christ, then people love to become in your presence because you became a part of God, son and daughter of God. Did you ever see people that you just love to be in their presence? There's just something about them that just radiates, that you just love to talk to them. And other people who are nice people, yet we don't say this unkindly, but you just can't hardly stay around them because of the atmosphere that you create. For you, as a son of God, are a miniature creator because you are a part of God, and that's the reason you can believe the Bible for anything that it says. For the word of God is God's word. For the word is God's word. You being a part of God will agree with that word. And from Saskatoon, he says, now I want to ask you something. Let's let our callers down just a minute. Did you ever see a person that's a good person and you think they are nice, but there's just something about the person that you don't like to be around them? Certainly you do. And then you've seen people that you just love to be around. What is it? It's a creative power. In each one of these, he just gives you a little different viewpoint, one more nugget that maybe he didn't put in another place. Like right here, he says, it's that creative power that's upon the people that create an atmosphere around where they're at. So if you're a born-again son or daughter of God, you have a creative power.
Amen.
If they're full of love, not make-belief, but real love, you can feel it. You know that they're Christians. They shake your hand when there's no COVID. I'm your friend, John. You can feel it. You might not agree with me, but I'm thinking of my friend, Paul Rader. Now, I believe in heartfelt religion. I noticed tonight that we have some colored friends with us. And an old colored man said once down in the South, his boss said, there's no such thing as a heartfelt religion. He said, just one thing you lack, boss, in saying there's no such thing as a heartfelt religion, as far as you know. He knowed different. And I believe in heartfelt religion. I believe that you feel it, that God gives you something inside of you that changes you. It makes the atmosphere around you different. I've tried that. I know it's the truth. That man create in himself the atmosphere that he lives in. And around him, he's anointed with the Spirit. I've seen people that you just couldn't get away from them. You just love them. There's something drawing about them. It's because they live in that atmosphere. They live under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the church says? Okay, can I read just a couple more? We're just about done here. The message, love, from Harrisburg. And you people here tonight, God, he's dependent on you to project his love to the sinner. God is depending on you to project his love to the sinner. Powerful, huh? What a responsibility. There's something about a man or a woman. You're a miniature creator. You know, it's just a matter of getting our priorities right. We think, well, I need to be treated right. I need to be respected. I need this. I need that. I need to get this done. I need to get that done. You need to be about your Father's business. Amen. You need to realize that he needs you to work through.
Amen.
And that's your number one priority. Have you seen people that you just love to be around? It's the atmosphere that they create around them. Other nice people that you just can't stand to be around them. They create that by the way that they live and the way that they think. It's a little atmosphere that you live in. So he said this a few times, wouldn't you say? All the way through the message. Again, 1962, he says, let's follow these two sources, or what you might call atmospheres. So one's a scientific atmosphere, the other one is a faith atmosphere, okay? Let's follow these two sources, or what you might call atmospheres, and see what they create. Let's follow them for a few minutes, atmosphere. Both of these sources will create an atmosphere. But let's see what kind. I want to ask you something. Did you ever go in a church? I say this reverently now. And we'll just to make a point, God forbid, did you ever go in a church where the pastor is real starchy? The congregation is the same way? And the church said,
amen.
Come on, friends, you know this is true. That's right. See, what is it? It's that atmosphere that brought it. Go into a place where the pastor says, now, wait a minute. There's no such thing as that nonsense. I don't believe in such a thing as divine healing, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've been in that here in the message. In fact, that's where I faced all my battles. All my battles. When it comes to the Holy Ghost. Is in our own ranks. Churches that, we're beyond that, or we got it some other way. And it's like, you know, it's like a switch that flips. You bring it up, and you know, if you aren't saying, well, you believe God sent a prophet, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, well, you're treated different. Or, you know, there's many, many different variants of that. It's because the atmosphere isn't right. And friends, we've all come from a wrong atmosphere. So this isn't singling anybody out. All of us started out wrong. You say, not me. Well, you're still wrong. It's that atmosphere that brought it. Going to the place where the pastor says, now, wait a minute, there's no such thing as that nonsense. I don't believe in such a thing as divine healing, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, you'll see every one of them, the congregation, if they haven't. He says, now, if there's an eagle in there somewhere, he'll get out amongst the bunch of chickens. Sure will. Exactly the truth. He'll leave it. Yeah, he sure will. He can't stand that. He's an eagle. He's a sky-built bird, not a barnyard. Yes, sir. He says, now we find out those atmospheres, and you get wherever those things where faith is taught in the church, you'll find a church in that atmosphere. Where faith is taught. Friends, it's being taught here. We expect atmosphere. I saw a change from morning to evening service, and we had a wonderful morning service. But we took it to another level tonight. You did. Why? Because we preached on it. And you want it. And we're going to have it. Those things where faith is taught in a church, you find a church in that atmosphere. Oh God, let me get this to you. So if you can see it, see, that's the reason people come among the saints where they're praying believers. Paul said he didn't find any in the city, only Timothy. That was like precious faith that he had, you know. The rest of them are all denominationalists, see. But when he got into that atmosphere, see, you find things going on the atmosphere has created. You find people living by faith when you get into a place where it says, my, why, the Bible is true. God heals. You walk around their congregation, you find, why, I was dying with cancer and I was healed. So you'll hear testimonies. Our church is full of testimonies. And I don't want us to, as precious as those are, we need to update them, friends. Because he's still the living God. And we don't want to just rest on, you know, I had 30 years of God did this or that. What's he doing today? My why, the Bible is true. God heals. You walk around their congregation and you find, why, I was dying with cancer. I was healed. I was once blind. I see. The strangers will say, my, what do you mean? What's the matter with you? I'll show you on my record. Come home with me. Come eat dinner with me. After COVID is over, I'll show you some. I got a record up there. My neighbors know that I was in this kind of condition. I was paralyzed for years. I was prayed for. See, what is it? That's that word in that church. That group of believers has created that atmosphere. That group of believers. Don't lay it on the pastor. The pastor needs to preach the word, but you need to put it into action. That word in that church, that group of believers has created that atmosphere. Now, how is the word in its simplicity, but yet in its completeness, ever going to grow in a place where knowledge overshadows? That and says, well, it can't be so. See, it can't. So where knowledge is preached from a seminary, the children die. Friends, I've been in many, many churches where I've heard things preached and put across in such a way and just so eloquently and typed this way and typed that way, and yet dead. And then people leave just as hateful as they were when they came in. It doesn't change you. Information doesn't change you. Revelation changes you. So where knowledge is preached from a seminary, the children die. Where faith is preached from the word, the children live. Amen. That's the difference, just life and death. The same thing happened in the Garden of Eden. That's exactly what happened to them two atmospheres there. When Eve got off the right one on the wrong one, she died. See, it'll do it every time. So they cannot stay. If your church has got that kind of an atmosphere, oh child, if you want to live, you believe the word. Again, we're just about done here. Again, he says, and did you know you're a little creator yourself? You know that? Certainly. You've seen people that you just love to be around. You don't know why. Just that loving type of person. Have you seen that? Congregation says, amen. Yeah, people just love to be around me. Just as kind. They're, you like to be around them. They create that atmosphere. You know, people, there's maybe we'll go down a list of characteristics of people that you like to be around. But one of the characteristics that will stick out more than others is that they make the conversation about you. Do you like to be around somebody that I did this and I did that and I, you know, and then you try and say something, yeah, but, and I did, yeah, but. Who wants that? Right. But a person that you want to be around, somehow they turn the conversation, well, how are you doing? And how did that feel? And why don't you give me your testimony? And what are you going through? And, right? Did you know you are a little creator yourself? You know that? Certainly. You've seen people that you just love to be around. You don't know why. Just that loving type of a person. Have you seen it? Congregation says amen. Just as kind there. You like to be around them. They create that atmosphere by the life that they live. The way they talk. Their conversation. Then you've seen those every time. You shun them. All time they want to talk about something evil or talk about somebody. Who likes to be around somebody that talks about other people? You say, I do. Well, I don't want to be around you. Unless you're talking about Jesus. Amen. They want to talk about something evil. They want to talk about somebody and say, oh my, there they come. They're just going to criticize somebody there. He's in here now. He's going to talk about this man. All they're going to do is tell dirty jokes or something about women or something like that. And you just hate to get around them. See, they create seemingly pretty nice people, but they create that atmosphere. And the things that you think on, the things that you do, the actions, the things that you talk about creates an atmosphere. God help us. Help us to be sensitive to these things. I want to finish it up with this quote from the token message. Brother Bram, when it came to the message, the token, he said, you know, I've been waiting for a while to preach on this. And he said, this is the most important message that I'm going to preach. He said, you've missed that life. You've missed everything. Don't you miss that token. Don't you miss the life. Put everything aside. Make sure you get that life. And then he tells you what that life will do. He says, apply it. You get that life, that token, and you apply it to your life. He says, apply it and create that atmosphere around you. And they'll just drop right into it. See? Friends, we spend so much time worrying about, well, what should I say to my loved ones? What should I say to my neighbor? What should I say to my coworker? It's not so much what you say. It's how you live. If you create that atmosphere, they'll be asking you. They'll draw things out of you. You won't have to cook something up to say. Create that atmosphere around you. That'll just drop right into it. See? They'll notice that there's something different about you, and they'll ask you questions. Why don't you have a TV? No. Oh, you are. You are. If you've got the token, you create a spirit around you, a power, that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. They'll love you for you to say something to them. They'll believe your word. If they can't believe our word, who can they believe, friends? We're living in such a deceitful age. People are giving up on believing. People are saying, you know, I don't know who to believe. When it comes to news, you can't believe any of it. Well, I'm kind of glad it's come to that, because we shouldn't be listening to it anyway. It's not the good news. The gospel is. I don't need to know that stuff. People know that you're a Christian. They love for you to say something to them. They believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. See? That's it. Apply the token. Then walk with it. Claim your household. You must do it now. This is the evening time. Now, you've been listening a long time. Now, this is the evening time. It's applying time now. The wrath will strike one of these days. It might be too late then. See, apply the token with confidence. Amen. You're not applying it out of fear. You're applying it with confidence. Amen. And if you've got the token, you know you have the token. And it's time to apply it. Amen. Let's stand tonight. I know it's a little different, but I just, you know, I could have perhaps made a series out of this and brought two or three quotes of service, but I just wanted to, I mean, this is all the way through the message. Amen. And it's important. Amen. And we don't hear it enough. Atmosphere. You know, instead, Lord, reveal this, or Lord, speak, or we want to see this gift, or we want to see that manifestation. We want to witness this miracle. When it's, the atmosphere has to be right. We're not lacking from those other things. What we're lacking a lot of times is just the right atmosphere. Right? I'll close with this thought. If you go to a nightclub or a bar, which you don't, but if you were to do that, you would find out that they go to great lengths to create an atmosphere to where you're comfortable living in sin. Because, believe it or not, it's not natural for you to be comfortable in that kind of an environment. So what they do is they dim the lights. They take, you know, I wondered about this. I worked at places that had a restaurant, had a bar, and we do hors d'oeuvres for their happy hour and whatever. And I always wondered, well, why isn't there a clock? Well, they don't want people to know what time it is, right? Because if you knew what time it was, you'd know that it was time to be home for dinner, right? Or you know, it's after 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it might be, you know? So they take away the clock so that you lose your sense of time. They turn up the music so loud that you can't think. Well, they don't want you to think. Because if you think, you'll realize that you shouldn't be there. You got to be at home, and you got a family waiting for you or whatever, right? They offer free hors d'oeuvres during happy hour, you know. I used to make them, so I know this myself. You make them salty. Right? Or peanuts or finger sandwiches or whatever. You make them salty so that they'll drink more. Right? So you're doing everything that you can to keep them there. And the way what you're doing is you're providing an atmosphere. Right? If, you know, if the lights weren't dim, if all of a sudden, you know, the lights were turned on and you could see a clock and whatever, you'd realize, you know, I really ought to be someplace else and I shouldn't be here and spending the grocery money or whatever, you know. But they don't want you to come to your senses. So what I'm getting at is that they spend a lot of money. They go to great Las Vegas and Reno, those gambling type places. They'll fly you in for free just about. I mean, there are some trips where they will literally fly you in for free, you know, if you'll just agree to, you know, stay at a low-rate hotel, and they'll offer you seafood dinner and lobster and whatever at some ridiculously low price, and you're thinking, oh, this is wonderful, right? But they know that if they can reel you in, that they'll empty your wallet and, you know, they'll make up for it. They'll get everything that they can out of you and send you home, you know, destitute and poor. But it's all about atmosphere. So if a sinner knows, I mean, if this sinful world understands the importance of atmosphere, how about us? It's a key, friends. That's why we don't want to have anything against one another. We don't want funny feelings. That'll create a wrong atmosphere. You know, that it'll hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. It'll keep some people from receiving the healing that they ought to receive. Right? And it's such little things. You know, and it's always little things. You know, Satan will take little things to try to sow discord, to try to keep disunity, to anything that he can. What he wants to do is disrupt the atmosphere. But friends, you know, one of the things that I love about Christians, about true believers, is that you can be away from them for a few years and then get back together, and you don't have to get reacquainted. I mean, there are some people that you get away from them for a month and they keep you at a distance, and you got to get to know them all over again. You're thinking, well, why is that? You know, I feel like I can trust you. What did you hear something about me in the meantime? Or, you know, did you forget? Or you need a re-education? Or, you know, but a real believer, time doesn't mean anything. Right? You just pick up where you left off. There's a whole lot of those people here tonight where I'm just convinced that if I didn't see you for a long time, if we got back together, I wouldn't have to, you know, there wouldn't be hemming and hawing and just uncomfortable and, you know, get to know one another. You just pick up where you left off. Why? Because you see the Christ that's in your brother or your sister and vice versa. This is serious. This is sincere. It's not something we should play with. Forget about life. Forget about all the stuff that's here in life and look at what's important. Amen. Amen. What's important is to create that atmosphere that Christ is free to move in and can use you to find that lost soul. Can use you to woo somebody back to the Father. Amen. Finish this great commission so we can relax. We got plenty of time to relax, right? We got plenty of time to shoot the breeze, or whatever the saying might be, you know, to chew the fat or whatever. We got plenty of time for all that on the other side, but we got work to do, and it requires focus. It requires diligence. It requires an approach. It's not easy. We read to you a quote. I probably should have finished up with that quote. Brother Brown said one of the hardest things to do is to keep that atmosphere, right? You have to want to keep that atmosphere, right? It takes effort, right? You have to spend time in prayer. Spend time every day in prayer in the Spirit so that you can even catch the fact that maybe you're not being as friendly to your neighbor as you want to be. You know that there's nothing between you and the neighbor, and you know that you're not being unfriendly because you don't like the neighbor, but you know it's because, you know, like I said, you kind of get that shut-in thing where you're not spending a lot of time talking with people, and you just kind of get into that routine. You got to push yourself out. Well, when you realize it, you need to do something about it. So I'm going to do something about it. Okay, I'll report to you next week what I did. Okay, now what about you? What could you do a little differently? You don't have to see one another smile with a mask on. There's other, maybe that's the deal. I mean, right now, most of us have our masks off. But most of the time when we see each other, we have our masks on. And we find it a little awkward because part of our communication is coming from our face, right? Well, just think of other things that you can do. Other ways that you can, you know, we're not shaking hands, but we are kind of flapping wings. Right? I mean, there's things we can do, right? There's just, friends, you say, well, that's not a big deal. I'm just using it as an example, right? You're a creator. On that, we cannot deny. You're a creator. What kind of an atmosphere are you creating? You create the right atmosphere, anything can happen. You create the right atmosphere, the Word of God will find its resting place. The Word of God will accomplish what it was sent to do. You don't have the right atmosphere, I don't care what it is you're trying to do, it's not going to work. Amen. Well, I'm challenged. I hope you are. Let's bow our heads. Father, especially in these kind of times, Lord, when the world is nervous and the world is confused, civil discourse has become uncivil, people are losing their humanity, they're treating one another as strangers, just kind of losing their feeling for one another, expecting the worst, saying the worst, quick to doubt, quick to believe something negative about someone, quick to say something in maybe a hurtful way. That's the direction that the world is going. That's the direction that the world is in. And without your presence, Lord, we'd be in that same kind of a situation, and we were in those kinds of situations in times past. But Lord, we've been born again of your Spirit, and the atmosphere has changed around us. And Lord, we want to endeavor to maintain that atmosphere. We want to be conscious, Lord, every day of the kind of an atmosphere that we're projecting for others, that others are walking in. Lord, we want to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. We don't want to project the spirit of Laodicea, but we want to project the spirit of heavenly places. We want the spirit of Christ to be manifested through us. We want you to be able to love other people through us. Lord, that's our desire. We understand, Lord, that that's your vision for us in this hour. And Lord, we as a people, we're going to walk in it, Lord. That is our confession here tonight, Lord. That is our desire. That's the vision that's been put before us. And we're going to walk in it, Lord. And we're going to be a church that people want to be around. We're going to be a people that people want to be around, that are comforted by. We're going to be that people where the supernatural is an everyday occurrence, where your word is being manifested in our lives so routinely that it seems natural, and it should, because it's natural for sons and daughters of God. It's totally unnatural to this world that we were born in, but it's natural to this heavenly kingdom that we are now citizens of. I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage each and every one. I pray, Lord, that you deal with our hearts. I pray, Lord, that in your own special way is that you'd move on our hearts, Lord, that you'd show us where we could take it up a notch, where you show us, Lord, where maybe we're letting the cares of this life get us discouraged or distracted. And maybe the atmosphere is not projecting in certain areas of our lives as it should. But Lord, we know, Lord, that you can reveal it to us. And your desire is not to beat us down, but your desire is to love us into the right kind of an atmosphere. Lord, if we're lacking things in our own lives, it's hard for us to project that atmosphere if we're lacking. So Lord, may we receive whatever it is that we have need of so that love can project, Lord. Won't you grant it? Father, I pray that you'd move on each and every heart, those that are listening in, those that will be listening in. each and every one of us, Lord. We want to be a little bit more sincere. We want to be a little bit more focused, recognizing the supernatural power that's within us, that's walking with us, that could affect other people's lives. Won't you grant it, Lord? Father, we ask these things tonight in faith and in hope and in love. May your blessings be upon each and every one now, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. What are you singing there? Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. In his arms. The best thing.